Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure.
You know, phrase I have, the ass is always greener, where when you're in a relationship, you romanticize being single, and when you're single, you romanticize being in a relationship. The ass is always greener. I think I may have fallen victim to a little bit of that myself.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. Have you ever tried to be friends with your ex or been hung up on your ex, been thinking about sleeping with your ex? Well, today's show, I'm joined by one of my ex-boyfriends, Ben Morrison, and we discuss the evolution of our relationship from falling in love, our favorite memories, including some sexual memories, why we broke up, and what we learned and regretted from the relationship. I also asked Ben if it was intimidating to date a sex educator, and we both share advice on how to become friends with your ex. But don't worry, I also answer your questions in this episode. And the reason why I decided to do this is because I hear from so many of you who are hung up on your ex, you're going through a breakup, or maybe you just think you made a mistake and you'll never love again. And I wanted to share my own story with you because yes, breakups are hard. Yes, they suck. I went through it with Ben. We had sex after. I've explained how I got attached, so I don't always recommend that right away. But just remember this, you do get to the other side of a breakup. You will live and you grow and you learn really important life lessons that just only makes you stronger for your next relationship. And I want to bring you fresh episodes that are personal to me. So let me know if you like this episode, if you want to hear more stuff about my own personal stories. I'm happy to bring you whatever content is going to help you liberate yourself and have better sex. That's what we're about. I also answer your breakup questions. I talk about ways to hook up and date someone after a breakup, tools to initiate the conversation about a breakup, and how to heal insecurities that might arise from a sudden end to your relationship. Intentions with Emily. For each episode, join me in setting an intention. When you're listening, what do you want to get out of this episode? How could it help you? Well, my intention is to give you reassurance and advice that whatever regret or heartache you're experiencing, you will get to the other side, you will learn lessons, and you will come out stronger. We have a new article on the site. It's an Ask Emily How to Watch Porn with a Partner. So remember to rate the podcast wherever you listen and subscribe. It helps us so much when you subscribe to the podcast. You'll never miss an episode and it helps keep the show free. And thank you always for just supporting the show all these years, sharing it with a friend and supporting our sponsors. I appreciate all of you. And if you want to ask me a question, call my brand new hotline, 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739, and just leave me your questions or message me, sexwithemily.com/askemily. Just include your name, your gender identity, location, age, and how you listen to this show. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Ben Morrison is an LA-based actor, comedian, filmmaker, and also my ex. He's the creator and host of Super Funny, a multimedia series. Find out more about him on his website, benthemorrison.com, or at benthemorrison on social media. Hey, Ben. It's good to see you.
You too.
We broke up 3 years ago, would you say? We met like 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we dated for a year.
Yeah.
How did we meet? How did we meet exactly?
We met at Summit, that mm-hmm. conference. And I was just roaming around. And I remember you were making a flower crown.
Mm-hmm.
When I came up, walked up behind the flower crown display. And I think, to be honest, I was like, that's one of the nicest asses I've ever seen. And I was like, I would like to meet the woman attached, you said, but. So waited until you turned around and, of course, didn't mention the butt. But I think I just introduced myself. And
yeah.
Maybe made you laugh. And
then you left and then you texted me. You're like, hey, we have the same birthday. Because yep. You Googled me. My Wikipedia came up. And mm-hmm. You're like, we have the same birthday. I'm like, no way. Have you met anyone that you like as much as me?
I mean, no, I haven't. I mean, when people ask me about connection and relationships, I still, to this day, cite the fact that I don't think I've gotten along with anyone and just had as natural a chemistry with someone as you.
So why do you think we broke up then, if we had such good chemistry?
I think I got spooked about the future. This idea I had had about what I wanted my future to be, that I don't know if I was open-minded enough at the time to figure out a road forward for both of us.
You mean the future of like wanting kids, and that's not in my plan? Is that what you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that was the basis of it. I remember when the seeds were laid. We hit our one-year anniversary, and we had the talk that we had never really had about where exactly is this going long-term.
Right.
And I had said that I would eventually like to have a family, and you said that that was never in your cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that laid a kind of fork in the road in front of us that there was no real way to navigate, you know?
So what do you think, how have you grown in the last few years, you think? Or what have you figured out about, I don't know, what you want in a relationship, what's important to you?
I'm still struggling with that, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, well, what about you? Why do you feel that you haven't been in any relationships post?
I've been in little mini relationships, mm-hmm. but nothing where I was like, this is my boyfriend. He's on my radio show. He's tagging him on Instagram.
Uh-huh.
So you're the last guy I dated that I tagged on Instagram. Let's just say that.
It's an honor.
Thanks. I think I deleted it, though. But anyway, I
didn't need to say that.
No, but I've been very busy and there wasn't a lot of time and I just didn't meet anyone that I was felt that I wanted to open up to, but I also think I didn't meet that many people.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you always kind of have your nonstop level of busy as an easy
yes.
excuse to?
But I'm working on that. That's my goal, is to try to figure out where I can work less and prioritize my pleasure more,
mm-hmm.
just like everyone else does who listens to the show. It got a little bit busier even than when we were together, I believe. But yeah, it's probably always kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a translation layer with you and men because of how famous you are for kind of guiding a nation through good sex?
Well, you tell me. People always ask me, like, was it intimidating to date someone who has a sex show?
What was my answer? I'd be like, yeah, it's intimidating for her learning all this new stuff from me. Like, can she right. handle it?
Right.
No, I mean, I don't know. It's just you and I got along so well. I just never really gave a shit that you were sex with Emily. You were just always
right.
Emily, you know?
Right.
My crazy little Gemini twin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely kinky enough that I was never really shocked by the depth of your knowledge in terms of the world of sex. Should I let you put nipple clamps on me for one of your videos? That's still online, by the way.
I just got a text before the show. Someone's like, can I fix you up with my friend? Mm-hmm. I'm like, sure, fix me up. Then they Google me. And then it's like sex with Emily. And I think that a lot of, I don't know, I think if you meet me, it's like the job. You're not sitting, you're a comedian. You're not like cracking jokes. You know how to speak English language.
Mm-hmm.
You're speaking complete sentences and telling stories. Do you know what I mean? It's my job is what I'm saying. I'm not just like, hey, do you know the clitoris is 8,000 nerve endings past the salt? I mean, sometimes, but.
But never put salt on the clitoris, okay?
No.
There's one place you don't want to season,
exactly.
All right? That's more of a pepper location.
What do you think about our sex life?
Oh, that was always pretty fucking amazing. I mean, I have no complaints about our sex life. That was...
When you think about our sex life, what do you think about?
Remember in Greece? we had that cavern hotel room?
Yeah. It was a castle.
Emily got us this incredible hotel room that had four rooms in a tunnel, but built into an actual cave. And the bedroom was the big one at the end, and it was very big. But I mean, like the echo, you're in a cave.
Yeah.
And yeah, we had a marathon afternoon, and I remember you had one orgasm that was so loud it just echoed.
That was when we invented the handy dandy, because I think you were going down on me, and then I turned around and put my hand. I was like, I'm not going to do 69 because you're going down on me, and that feels good. But I'm going to use my hand and give you a hand job. The handy dandy. Do you remember that?
I remember that. I haven't thought of that in a long time.
I believe that we did become friends after we broke up, but not right away. Like I always think that we needed to not. We didn't talk every. It was hard though. I think I had a harder time with the breakup than you did.
Why?
I don't know. But though, you know what it was? We slept together a few times. So then I would sleep with you, and then I would get attached again. And then I was like, oh, this is hard. Then I was like, no, I can't do that. I need to just not be connected to you. So then I think we didn't talk for like a while.
Well, yeah, I kind of got that energy and backed off a little bit, but I still continued just saying hello to you. I don't know. I just didn't want to lose touch. Just soul to soul. There's, yeah, it's only because of the birthday. No, I've always felt that there's, you know, there's a handful of people that life puts in your path where you just kind of connect with. And I was okay that if we weren't going to be lovers, we should at least, I would love to, and still feel this way, just want to know that I know you, you know, because I do value that genuine connection, be it utterly non-sexual. You know, you don't get a lot of those, and I don't want to lose that.
So you'd rather be friends with me than have sex again? We could do that.
No comment.
Well, what do you remember about our breakup? Like, let's talk about that. When we broke up, what was that experience like?
I mean, I was pretty fucking devastated. Just, I had never really been in love like I had with you. I mean, that's the honest answer. I just was not entirely sure that I had made the right move, but had committed to it. I remember crying a lot. I made that video. I wrote the breakup song.
You did write the breakup song. It was based on your video game.
It was based on Red Dead Redemption. I still think that thing is pretty beautiful, honestly. Yeah, yeah. I cried a lot. That was a hard November, December. And I think you have a lot, you know, hindsight is 2020. And I think you realize what aspects of a connection you had that you didn't necessarily know were as readily available in the real world until you don't have it anymore. And you're like, oh, okay. Well, I mean, I guess when I was in the relationship, if I wondered, could I go out and get laid on my own? All right, well, I've gotten an answer to that, but can I really have an emotional connection with someone again? Oh, shit. Apparently that is a lot harder than I had told myself. You know, that phrase I have, the ass is always greener, where when you're in a relationship, you romanticize being single. And when you're single, you romanticize being in a relationship. The ass is always greener. I think that's funny. I may have fallen victim to a little bit of that myself. And honestly, you know, the relationships I've had since have been moderately dumpster fiery since, you know, in terms of just overall level of tumult. It was just very easy with you, just the day to day.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of drama. Yeah, no, I know. We had a good connection. That is true. So where are we now? How do you feel right now? So this is about how you're friends with your ex. This is great. How are we doing? How are we doing right now, would you say?
I mean, we have been in touch frequently. My respect level for you is still at an all-time high for everything that you've done and who you are.
Do you have any regrets about our relationship?
I regret how it ended. We were always so good at talking through everything. It didn't end with any real animosity or yelling or screaming. We literally never did that, which I look back at fondly, given the relationships I had after. Do I have any regrets? No. I think certain things situationally made it hard, the lack of a real kind of comfortable home base for us to situate the relationship in. Because it wasn't my place and it wasn't your place.
Do you think we could really be friends if I was like, this is my new guy? Or do you think we're there?
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
As long as you're happy, I'm happy for you.
What would you say is any like good advice for actually being friends with an ex?
It's not going to work if there is an imbalance of want, meaning if one person is still in love with the other person,
right,
then a friendship is infeasible and it's not going to work.
you can't be friends with someone, I believe, right away when you first, everyone's like, well, let's be friends. You can't be friends right away.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I think if a certain amount of time has passed, and, you know, generally quite a bit of time where the parties involved have really moved into the next phase of their lives.
What do you think you learned from our relationship?
I learned that love can really kick your fucking ass when it ends. I didn't think I had the ability to be in love, frankly. It's possible. I had not really thought it was previous.
Well, that's good. So,
what about you?
You reminded me our relationship, but I like being in a relationship. I liked watching TV with somebody and going out to dinner and just having someone to hang out with.
Uh-huh.
What was our favorite thing to do in bed?
Yeah, we didn't really do anything kinky. I mean, you of course have all the lube known to man. I always remember at the end of the night when we were going to sleep, when I'd side snug you, you'd make your little Emily sounds when I'd hug you. And those are always really cute.
So our favorite things to do in bed were cuddle. Yeah, I agree. I got to ask you the 5 quickie questions we ask all of our guests.
Okay,
Ben, what's your biggest turn on?
Someone looking back at me when I'm admiring their rear quarters, and then they look back and you catch their eyes. I find that very sexy.
What's your biggest turn off?
Someone who's an asshole.
What makes good sex?
Being able to look them deep in the eyes during it and have them look deeply back and no one is trying to break that kind of soul-to-soul connection.
Something you tell your younger self about sex and relationships.
Hang in there, Ben, because one day you'll be having it with Emily.
What's the number one thing you wish everyone knew about sex?
Talking about it is sexy and makes it better.
Great, Ben. Thanks so much for being here today. Tell me, Ben, where can people find you?
Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, Ben the Morrison.
Thank you for doing this. I appreciate you.
Never a dull moment, Emily.
True, right?
Goodbye, Em.
Bye. After the break, I answer your questions, like Avery, who just hooked up with someone for the first time after a breakup and feels awful. Have you been through that? All this and more when we come back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Let's get into your email questions. This is from Avery. Hey, Dr. Emily. I recently broke up with my boyfriend of over a year. And last night, I hooked up with someone new for the first time. I had no problem hooking up with new people before I started dating my ex, but the sex was terrible, and I literally felt disgusting afterward. I went home and cried. I feel like I'll never be able to have sex with someone besides my ex without feeling this way. Can you help me? Yes, Avery, I can help you. Here's the thing. When we break up with somebody, we always feel that we're never going to get over it, that we'll never find someone as good, that they've ruined us for life. We put them on a pedestal. We often don't remember all the things that didn't work. So you're right in that stage right now. I like to call this stage like a rite of passage. Because it takes a while to move past someone that you were in love with and that you had a relationship, the last person you had sex with, right? So it sounds to me like you just might not be ready to go out yet and to date somebody. The more you could work on yourself right now and think about what you learned in the relationship, what you'd like in your new relationship, make sure that you still are connecting with yourself. Masturbation is a great way to keep your sexual energy flowing, because also what you're doing is, I mean, think about it. It's the last person that you had sex with. So, of course, you would be thinking about him when you're with someone new and comparing it, right? Compare and despair. Comparing us to, whether you're comparing yourself to someone on Instagram, or you're comparing a relationship, or you're comparing a job, or you're comparing something that you've done today wasn't as good as yesterday. I think we all do this. And I think that there's the act of comparing can be so destructive. Recognize that and say, I'm associating sex with somebody who I know, who I was with for a while. They knew my body. There was no drama. There was no, like, I didn't have to teach them where my clitoris was, you know? And so I think that it's just, you know, it's like, I went on a bike trip to Zion National Park. And the whole time I was there, I kept thinking about the last time I was there. I'd been there 20 years earlier. I was like, oh yeah, we went through here, we went through there. And I was trying to make sense of the park from the last time I was at the park, right? Our brains try to make sense of situations. You want to make sense of it. We want to feel safety. We do that all the time without, God, I know it's an interesting, silly example, but like, of course, sex, the idea of sex was something that you just shared intimately with someone for a year. This tells me you're not ready yet. It's time to work on yourself. I promise that you will have great sex again. He didn't ruin you for life. And I love that you emailed me at this stage, because it sounds like there's still some work to do. Now, remember, you could do baby steps. You could go out for lunch with people. You could go out for a drink, but you could decide that you're not ready for sex yet. And that's all okay. This is how we learn about ourselves. All right, Avery, thanks for the question. I appreciate you. This is from Molly, 31 in Georgia. Hey, Dr. Emily, it's become obvious to me I've never actually had a breakup conversation with anyone. I'm 31 and I've actually been married before, but cowardly I didn't have a breakup conversation then either. I just went to work one day and never went home. Anyway, the marriage was a little more than 10 years ago when it ended, and it wasn't long before I was into a full-blown serious relationship again. 6 or 7 years into the relationship now, I'm realizing that in my adult years, I've never been single. Is it selfish of me to have the urge to be single for a while? More important than that, though, I'm freaked out at even the thought of a breakup conversation. Oh, Molly, I think that the greatest gift and the best gift you could give to yourself right now is to be single. We are not on this planet to constantly be in a rotation of relationships. And that we, you know, this is something I would love to change about society, that we value people in a relationship. And when we're not in a relationship, we're constantly asking the question, do you want to meet someone? Do you want to be fixed up? Do you think, da, 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 da? I wish that we could normalize taking time after a relationship and figuring out, who are you without a man in your life, Molly? You've been with someone since you were 21. So absolutely, who are you without a man? What brings you joy in your life? Start to build the other things in your life that are important to you, like your friendships and your career. When we break up with someone, it's such a great time to develop all those other areas of our life that we might have been neglecting because we were in a relationship that took up so much of our time. And the breakup conversation, I think that it would be awesome for you to have some therapy around that. Like, what is it that's so hard to be vulnerable with someone and to be real? Are you a pleaser? Are you somebody who doesn't want to disappoint anyone? Talking about problems in the relationship are too hard for you, so you just walk away. I mean, you ended your relationship. You said at 21, you went to work and never came home. We can do that at 21, but now you're 31. And I get doing that when we're younger. But what are the things that you're not saying right now to people in your life? Now, this is a practice. This is something that you have to work on and understand your communication style. But I'm just getting the sense of this, that you're somebody who doesn't want to have conflict avoidant, perhaps. Whether it's your relationship or your boss, it's important to learn how to have conversations where you are being objective, but you're sharing your needs and what you want and being okay with potentially disappointing someone or getting into a conflict. So I think that's the work that would be great for you to do, Molly, right now. So when you get into a relationship, you'll have the practice of having meaningful conversations in depth with people other than a lover. You know, maybe you have a friend that didn't call you back and said she was going to call you back on Saturday. Or maybe your mom told you she'd do something and didn't do it. Like, where are the places in your life that you have relationships with people that you need to have a conversation with them and you haven't been able to do it yet? That's a great way to practice. It's baby steps, okay? You got this. This is from Jonathan 30, New England. Hey, Dr. Emily, I'm currently engaged to a woman who I had an unexpected yet wonderful child with. I've been considering ending things when we found out because a lot of different values, perspectives, and life goals, and a major lack of passion or romance. I regret giving in and proposing now that the wedding is coming near. She's never been willing to have the kind of deep communication about sex and our lack of passion or any romance at all in the relationship that I know is needed. Is physical and passion incompatibility enough reason to walk away when a child is involved, or am I being selfish? All right, Jonathan, it's not an either or here. Like, yes, you're being selfish, so you should stay. You know, some people would say it's selfish to stay if you're not in love with the mother and it's going to be difficult and you're going to have challenges. And I do think that there's something to be said for doing everything you can to make sure that you've tried to make this relationship work before you walk away, because there is a child involved. We tend to repeat patterns in relationships. And I'm here to tell you, you're going to keep repeating this over and over and over again unless you start to deal with them in your current situation. So you say that she's never willing to have the kind of deep communication about sex and her lack of passion. Well, what if you had a conversation with her, not about like the frequency of sex and not about why won't you have sex with me, but just say, I've really been thinking lately about our relationship and I love our child. And, you know, here's some things that I love about our relationship. But I've realized more and more as time has gone on that it's really important to me to have healthy sexual communication, because sex is an important part of my overall well-being and I prioritize it. And I understand that this is something that isn't comfortable for you, but I really know that this is something that I value. Would you be willing to go to a marriage counselor or a family counselor or a sex therapist with me to talk about this so we can figure out if we're on the same page and if this is something we can work through? Because for me, I'm not sure how I could stay in a relationship without that passion. In every other area of our life, we get help when there's a problem, right? At work, if there's a problem, we can go to human resources. Our car breaks down, we go to a mechanic, right? We go to experts to fix it. And I think if you have a kid together, no matter what happens, you're also going to be co-parenting for the rest of your life. And so it's important to maybe disagree, but have healthy communication, maybe compromise, and be vulnerable with the mother of your child. If you're contemplating a breakup, I know it's going to serve you well to know that you've done everything, that you've done everything that you can to try to make it work. Because then when you leave, you could say, well, I really tried. And here's all the ways that I tried. It also helps to give yourself a deadline and to say, for 3 months, I'm going to work. I'm going to put all my energy into this relationship and try to make it work. Sometimes having a time limit on that is also a great way to measure progress or the absence of progress, in which case you want to end it. All right, Jonathan, thanks for your email. I appreciate your question. After the break, Sam wants to know if they're ready for a new relationship. We'll be right back. Okay, this is from Lee 30 in New York. Hey, Dr. Emily. A few weeks ago, a relationship with someone I thought was my person ended suddenly. During the breakup conversation, I was told that he stopped feeling physical chemistry with me in the bedroom and it wasn't fixable and he dumped me. It caught me off guard and that comment stuck with me. During our relationship, he didn't always orgasm when we had sex and wouldn't always be able to stay hard. But when we talked about it, the answer was never about dissatisfaction in the bedroom or lack of chemistry per se. He would just say that he was stressed, he wasn't too concerned about it, and he was focused on my pleasure and was enjoying it. We always mixed things up, and I've always been able to orgasm. And for me, it was the best sex I ever had. He mentioned during the breakup that the fact that I checked in with him throughout our relationship about how he feels in the bedroom was a sign that I knew something was wrong deep down. But I just wanted to keep the communication open. We never had an argument in our year-long relationship, so the breakup is like whiplash. And I'm realizing that his holding back discussing things early on prevented us from having an open and honest relationship. But I feel it ended up prematurely. I feel guilty that I wasn't more attentive partner, and I'm confused, and I have shame. And it's affecting me now, feeling that I'm an inattentive partner and self-conscious about how I'm in the bedroom. How do I get past this? This sounds really painful, Lee, and I'm sorry that you're going through this. It's really hard when someone just upends their relationship. It is like whiplash. This is someone that you loved and you had a relationship with for a year, and I'm sorry. It's like remember when we go through a breakup, it's like a mini death. I mean, we really are experiencing a loss, a broken heart. Like, we just broke a body part, and it's our heart. It's hard. But what I want you to remember, He wasn't a great communicator. You are clearly somebody who wants to be with a partner who can talk about your sex life, who wants to please you and please themselves. I mean, I don't think it's okay if a partner says, don't worry about me, let's just take care of your orgasm. I mean, maybe he is shame because it sounds like he might be a delayed ejaculator. Delayed ejaculator is someone with a penis who usually takes them about 45 minutes to an hour to ejaculate, if ever. So maybe he really is going through stress or something in his life, but this is not the partner that you want to build a relationship with. They came out of the blue and he ends it for whatever reason. We're never going to know if that's true or not true. But anyway, he ended it right away and he wasn't willing to communicate. To me, he's doing you a favor here. He's clearly not the one for you because he's not able to give you what you need. But what we got to work on now is your limiting beliefs and your negative self-talk that what he said about you is defining you. We don't know his mission, where he's coming from, if that's even what he said. You know that old saying, like if your boss is giving you a review and they tell you three things that you're doing great, one thing you need to improve, all we remember is a thing that we need to improve, right? So I don't know that your partner sat there and said, my chemistry's over, our relationship's done, I'm done. We tend to remember those things. I bet you if I called him up, he probably wouldn't have the same recollection. But that's neither here nor there. In a way, I know this is easier said than done and my heart isn't broken right now and I understand what you're saying, but if you could really just kind of think about it this way, I'm so grateful that I only had put a year of time into a relationship with somebody who wasn't willing to meet me, who wasn't able to do the work. Not because they're a bad person, just means that wherever they're at in their life right now, maybe this will never be important to them to do the work. When someone shows you who they are, believe them. You just got some great information. I need you to remember this. I need you to journal. I need you to start spending time with friends and people that make you feel good. And try to think about how you want your next partner to make you feel, how you want to feel in that relationship. And when you're ready to start dating again, it's not about you getting them to like you. It's about you finding someone that is a good communicator, that's willing to be vulnerable and express their emotions. Okay? That's what you need. That's what I want for you. And you will find it. This is from Sem38 in Cyprus, Europe. Hey, Dr. Emily. I've gotten out of a 10-year relationship. Three of those were married 8 months ago. I felt like seeing new people. And one of them is a woman who's 32, and I've been seeing her the last month. No sex yet. We just hang out. She also got out of a 10-year relationship 2 years ago, and it was a stressful breakup. I like her, and I want to try being with her, but I'm not sure how to approach it. She opened up and told me she had not had her period for 6 months and has no sexual desire because of it. How should I approach her to make something happen? I also have some fear of rejection and don't know how to tell her I like her. Sounds like you're both going through breakups right now. She also told you that she doesn't have sexual desire right now. I don't know if it's because of her period or maybe she's on a medication or there's a lot of perhaps reasons why. But when someone shares this information, if someone says, I'm not looking for a relationship or I'm not into sex or I'm not a great communicator or I don't believe in monogamy, or we have to listen to what people tell us. We can't go in thinking, well, you know, this person said that, but I'm going to change their mind. So I think that you'd be best to start dating other people or start to, you know, work on yourself. Maybe you need space after your breakup. Now, if you're not ready just to end this friendship because it hasn't gotten sexual yet, you could say to her, I know you're not feeling sexual desire right now. I heard you say that, but I really feel an attraction to us. I don't want to just be your friend, but I can't stop thinking about kissing you and seeing how she responds. I think that's such a great line to say to someone, and not a line, but like a real thing. Like, I keep thinking about kissing you. I just can't. I would love to make out with you. I picture your lips or something and let her know that you're interested beyond friendship. And maybe that'll turn around and she'll be like, wow, I thought I had no sexual desire, but you're right. I feel that way too. But make your move sooner than later, because I don't think this is someone you're going to be friends with if you just met and you have an attraction to him. Remember that. We also make that mistake like, oh, that's okay. We can just be friends, you know, even though I'm attracted to you. I think when there's an imbalance in desires, someone wants someone more than the other, that's really hard to be friends. I think we have to have a mutual, when you're building a new friendship, you have to both want the same thing, and that is a friendship. It can't be because you're trying to convince someone of something or you want to change the person. Never, ever get in a relationship thinking you're going to change someone or fix them, because that never works. People change when they want to. That's it for today's episode. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts and share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of this, they will too. We release 2 to 3 episodes a week. Find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. If you want to ask me a question about sex, dating, or relationships, you can email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or sexwithemily.com/askemily. And check out my website. We have so many articles on there helping you better sex. And you can check out our guides at sexwithemily.com/guides for free guides that will give you expansive tips and activities. Sign up for our weekly emails because, hey, I've been told I give really good emails. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.